From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you once again to Let the Bible Speak, as we return today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, to continue with our study on the subject, Jesus Christ, man's only point of contact with God. We look forward to your staying with us for the rest of this broadcast, and I trust the Lord will open up His Word to you in a wonderful way. First, however, we start off with our hot topic for today, that is, the Presbyterian Church in America takes a stand against the new perspective on Paul and the so-called federal vision. The 35th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America took a much-needed stand against two very dangerous departures from the historic Reformed faith. Over recent years, some who claim to remain within the mainstream of Reformed thinking have espoused the so-called new perspective on Paul and federal vision. Neither of these has a just claim to represent Reformed doctrine. The new perspective on Paul is a warmed-over version of the old folly of the Council of Trent. It's a regressive step towards salvation by works. Federal vision is a regression toward the sacramentalism against which the Reformed faith has always been a powerful witness. So, I commend the General Assembly of the PCA for identifying these aberrations and plainly declaring that both the new perspective on Paul and federal vision are incompatible with the Westminster standards. The Assembly reminded those who hold these views that they are required to make it known to their local church courts or sessions that they do so. I trust that sessions and presbyteries will make sure to exercise the discipline called for by their Book of Church Order and thus stop the spread of the infection of false doctrine. The statements of the PCA report are important, and so I'll give them in full with one slight change. The report says that the views it condemns are contrary to the Westminster standards. That is true, and it was proper for the PCA to address the problem in this way. However, since many of you are not Presbyterian, I will substitute the Word of God for the Westminster standards. With that slight alteration, here are the PCA's 9 points of condemnation of the new perspective on Paul and federal vision. 1. The view that rejects the bicovenantal structure of Scripture as represented in the Westminster Standards, that is, views which do not merely take issue with the terminology, but the essence of the first, second covenant framework, is contrary to the Word of God. 2. The view that an individual is elect by virtue of his membership in the visible church, and that this election includes justification, adoption, and sanctification, but that this individual could lose his election if he forsakes the visible church, is contrary to the Word of God. The view that Christ does not stand, this is 3, the view that Christ does not stand as a representative head whose perfect obedience and satisfaction is imputed to individuals who believe in him, is contrary to the Word of God. 4. The view that strikes the language of merit from our theological vocabulary, so that the claim is made that Christ's merits are not imputed to his people, is contrary to the Word of God. The view, number 5, that union with Christ renders imputation redundant because it subsumes all of Christ's benefits, including justification, under this doctrinal heading, is contrary to the Word of God. 6. the view that water baptism effects a covenantal union with Christ, through which each baptized person receives the saving benefits of Christ's mediation, including regeneration, justification, and sanctification, thus creating a parallel soteriological system to the decretal system of the Westminster Standards, is contrary to the Word of God. Number 7, the view that one can be united to Christ and not receive all the benefits of Christ's mediation, including perseverance, in that effectual union, is contrary to the Word of God. Number 8, the view that some can receive saving benefits of Christ's mediation, such as regeneration and justification, and yet not persevere in those benefits, is contrary to the Word of God. And finally, the view that justification is in any way based on our works, or that the so-called final verdict of justification is based on anything other than the perfect obedience and satisfaction of Christ, received through faith alone, is contrary to the Word of God. And there I end the quote from the PCA's 35th General Assembly. In the past, I have criticized that assembly for failing to take an adequate stand against some compromise with Rome by an official college choir. On this occasion, I'm happy to recognize a good defense of the faith of the gospel and say congratulations indeed to the PCA. May God help them and bless them as they seek to take this very necessary stand. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism. the doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request and we'll be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart. When Jesus says, go and let the Old Testament speak to John and let John be convinced therefrom that I am the Messiah, he is saying something more than I'm a prophet or I'm even the greatest of the prophets. I want you to watch this carefully. He says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see when you went to see John? Did you go to see a prophet? Yes, I say it more than a prophet. There has been no man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. I tend to think that the emphasis is upon greater as a prophet than John the Baptist. The reason for that will come out in a moment. But certainly none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. What does that mean? I think again, it is saying, as a prophet, the one least in the kingdom is greater than John as a prophet. Why is that? Because John led up to the kingdom. He didn't establish the kingdom. He could only say it's coming, it's at hand. The kingdom came with Christ. The kingdom came in Christ. Now listen to this. If the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, what does that say about the king? What does that say about him who is the very embodiment of the kingdom? You see, the Lord Jesus is establishing something here when he's showing his messianic credentials. He's not just one of the number of the Old Testament prophets. He's not just the best of the Old Testament prophets. He's not just the greatest of them. He's not just the last of them.
Even Islam will say Christ Jesus. Well, it'll not admit that he's the Christ, but Jesus is in the line of the Old Testament prophets. He is one of God's messengers. Up to that point, he was the greatest of God's messengers. Even Islam will admit that. But that's a lie. For he is not only greater in every way than all the Old Testament prophets, he is different. They brought the message. He is the message. They announced the word. He is the word. They talked about light. He is the light. They came from God. He is the God who commissioned them, manifested in the flesh. He's showing here that he is the promised Messiah. For John and for every Jew, that had to be good news. And for every sinner too. As I'll show you just in a moment, how this works out in the chapter. Because here all the long given prophecies have come to pass. All that God has ever promised about salvation for sinners, starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, all of it has come to pass in the person and through the work and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when we go on in the chapter, we find that the truth that he's the only way of communication and communion between God and man is demonstrated. And Christ is shown as the friend of sinners. Look at verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, I want you to notice something. The Lord Jesus could take the Scriptures and say, go and tell John what you see, and in the light of Scripture, I'm established as the Messiah. Now, around him were sanctimonious Jews. They also had the Scriptures. And not only did they have the Scriptures, unlike a whole lot of Christians who have Bibles, these people knew the Scriptures. They knew them. We may condemn the Pharisees for many things, but at least they read their Bibles. And they studied their Bibles. And they didn't make vain excuses that they were too busy, or that they didn't have the brains, or they didn't have this, or they didn't have that. They read their Bibles, and they spent time in the reading of their Bibles, and in the study of their Bibles. They gave themselves constantly to the study of God's Word. So whatever we say about those Pharisees, let's remember there are some things in which they could judge many of us. Some of you have been saved for 30 years and you've never read the Bible through once. You talk about the Pharisees? Yeah, they're false. But they knew the Bible. But here's the thing. These sanctimonious Pharisees and Jews with Bibles in their hand and in their mind criticized Jesus Christ on the very account of fulfilling the things that the Old Testament prophesied as the marks of the Messiah. Jesus says, go and tell John. And he says, what to tell him about? The blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised up, the poor having the gospel preached unto them. He's getting down to every level of society, and in fulfillment of the Scriptures that said what the Messiah would do, he did it. And all he got from these sanctimonious hypocrites among the Jews was criticism. Why? Because you're the friend of sinners. You're the friend of sinners. You know, it didn't matter what anybody would do, these hypocrites were going to find fault anyway. It's a sad thing when people get to that place. Of course, again, it's not only Pharisees get there. I've met Christians got there. You couldn't please them. If you smile, they're unhappy. If you don't smile, they're unhappy. I found this years ago, a little church in Northern Ireland. Our minister's wife was a very, very attractive person. She was very meticulous about the work of God, kind, helpful. We all loved her, and to this day all hold her, I say we all are the young people, we held her and still held her, hold her in the highest regard. She was a very queenly person. She couldn't help the fact that she was born beautiful. To some other women, that's a big crime. She couldn't help that. She couldn't help the fact that she carried herself in a regal way. She was not a proud person. As I say, she was a very lovely person. She'd come into the meeting and not wanting to do anything that would take away from the service after the prayer meeting, she would come around the outside of the church in the front door, and she would walk quietly up the aisle and go into her seat. And this is just 2 minutes before a service starts, so she's not going to talk to anybody. She's just going to go in and sit down and get ready for the service. A voice is heard gossiping around the church. Who does she think she is? She walks up there like the queen. Couldn't say hello. Couldn't smile. Couldn't take us under her notice. And so, the minister's wife decided, if that gives offense not to smile and speak, I'll smile and speak. Well, she seemed like the queen before. Now she really looked like the queen. You know, the queen sits and smiles and goes like this. And she walked up. Who does she think she is? Some people, you couldn't please them. And I know the source of that gossip. And that person has gone through life a bitter person, with many, many other qualities, mind you. And I have to say this because I'd be lying to say otherwise. With many other qualities that are attractive and kind and good, but a bitter person. That's the way these Pharisees were. Nothing would please them. Notice the parable Jesus told. He said, unto will I liken this generation? And then he says it's like the children sitting in the marketplaces. Now, this is a sight that they would have seen many times. People, two groups, musicians, and for want of a better word, we'll call them dancers. And they were hired for funerals, and they were hired for marriages, maybe for other things as well. And while those piped, the others in lamentation were to beat their breasts and mourn. And at other times when those piped, the others would dance. These are the two groups. But as very often happens, especially among the artistic, he piped and you didn't smite your breasts. Next time we piped and you didn't dance. Jesus says, that reminds me of you people. John the Baptist came, and you say to him, John, you're not very sociable. You don't eat and drink, that is, with other people. You're not very sociable. The Son of Man comes along, and you say to him, you are sociable. You eat and drink, but you're just a a wine bibber, a glutton. But most of all, you're a friend of sinners. You mix with the wrong crowd. You run with the wrong people. You have time for people that we won't take under our notice. Let me tell you what they meant as criticism is the greatest thing you can say about Christ. He's the friend of sinners.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.